prepare to be amazed. This is the story of a man whose son was dying. We do not know the precise nature of the son's illness, except that he had a high fever and was near the point of death. Can you imagine how he was feeling? Worried, anxious, without hope. I think this is every parent's deepest fear, that somehow, someday, in an accident or by illness or through some other means, our children will be taken from us. I know for some people here this evening, this has been their reality. When we are faced with the unthinkable, what happens to our faith in God? Do we draw near to God or move away from him? Our belief in him is tested, isn't it? This is how C.S. Lewis put it in A Grief Observed. You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death to you. It is easy to say you believe a rope to be strong and sound as long as you are merely using it to cord a box. But suppose you had to hang by that rope over a precipice, wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted it? Only a real risk tests that reality of belief. The passage tells us that this was a very important man who had a very important conversation with Jesus. He was a royal official. The word official in verses 46 and 49 is literally royal one. It means connected to a king in some way. The king-like figure over Galilee was Herod. He was a wicked man. He had married his brother's wife and put John the Baptist to death. Now the passage tells us that without notice, a miracle occurs. What happened to his son was not due to luck or coincidence. His son was dying and Jesus healed him. This story illustrates how faith grows in the human heart. None of us is born into God's family with our faith being fully developed. We all go through various stages to arrive where God wants us to be. A crisis. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. Faith almost always starts in a crisis. When things are going well, it's easy to forget God. But when life tumbles in around us, we suddenly start looking to heaven for help. Many of us here this evening have experienced a crisis of faith, a time when life seems to be going well and then without notice a bomb explodes. The life we knew has been turned upside down. In 2006, a bomb exploded in my life. My maternal grandmother and mother were diagnosed with the same cancer. I asked God questions. How could this be happening? How could God allow two faithful women to go through so much suffering? Just when life seemed to be perfect, I had two beautiful daughters, aged 4 and 2, a loving husband, and a great life. I wonder if that is how the royal official felt. Now let's get back to the passage. Now we know that he was a royal official in the government. He was probably rich and powerful and influential. He was in the upper crust, a power broker, a man others feared and respected. He was accustomed to giving orders and having them carried out. But all the power and money in the world cannot change his situation. His son is dying and he is helpless. Something to consider, if his son had not been sick, he might never have met Jesus. God often uses trouble to focus our attention on him. Not always, but sometimes. What will this man do? Where will he go? This is a crisis. I am wondering, in a crisis, where do you go? Who do you lean on? Showing humility towards God. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him. Be amazed. By this time, Jesus had become well known in Galilee. Not long before, he had performed the amazing miracle of turning water into wine. Word had spread. This man called Jesus had the power to heal the sick. When the royal official heard that Jesus had come to Cana, he instantly decided to go see him. His plan was simple. He would meet Jesus face to face, explain his son's sickness, and ask him to come back to Capernaum so he could heal his son. It is important to remember at this point, he doesn't really know who Jesus is. He has heard rumours, but has not seen anything with his own eyes. Who can blame him? He loves his son and wants him to be healed. He could have sent his servants to Jesus. That would have been appropriate, but he came himself. He doesn't know Jesus, never met him. He only knows his reputation. But that is enough for this man. He leaves in the desperate hope that his son might be healed. He doesn't know, but he goes anyway. That's what faith in our God should look like. It doesn't know the future, but it steps out anyway. He shows humility towards God. So back to my story. In the February, my grandmother was given 3 months to live and my mother 6 months. Like the royal official, I stepped out in faith. I prayed for a miracle. I didn't know what the outcome would be, but I believed that God could heal my mother and grandmother. Geographically, Capernaum is on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, while Cana is in a hilly area about 22 miles away. To put it into context, it's from here to Coldstream. Now, the royal official must humble himself and go to Jesus, pleading for his son's life. In this desperate moment, his money and power meant nothing. Our status, our money, our wealth mean nothing when we are brought to our knees in suffering. We need to humble ourselves before God and put our trust in him. Our petitions to God. And he begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Be amazed. Our prayers are often born out of desperation. Only needy people pray. Those who aren't needy don't need to pray, and they don't. When hard times come, we cling to God like a drowning man clings to a rope. That's what I did. I prayed and I prayed to our Heavenly Father that my grandmother and mother would be healed. Then on the 1st of March, my grandmother passed away. It appears that his request was very simple and very direct. Oh, Jesus, come and heal my son. He knew what he wanted, Jesus to come with him. Time was of the essence. Jesus, you must come right now. My son may die at any moment, but I know you can heal him. There is something positive and something negative in what he says. On one hand, the father totally believes Jesus can heal his son, but his faith is defective because he thinks Jesus must be personally present for the miracle to happen. He believes that for Jesus to work a miracle in Capernaum, he can't stay in Cana. He's got to travel the 22 miles back to Capernaum in order for his son to be healed. How do you pray? Do you only pray when things are difficult? Our determination to believe in God. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, Sir, come down before my child dies. Be amazed. Jesus' answer is unexpected and appears to be almost rude. Jesus was putting this man's faith to the test. Are you coming with me just because you want a miracle, or do you really want to know who I am? The problem is not our desire for miracles, but our addiction to miracles. And this explains why he would not come to Capernaum and heal the son in person. If he went to Capernaum and performed the miracle there, it would attract a great crowd. They would follow him as a miracle worker, but they would not believe in him as the Son of God from heaven. He would have become popular, but he would not have been worshipped as the Saviour of the world. I was determined to believe that God would heal my mum. I tried to reason with God by saying, surely you would not allow both my grandmother and mother to die in the same year. It was in the June of that year that we received some more positive news. The tumour markers had decreased substantially. Thank you, God, we have hope again. Because we want to see signs, we put conditions on God before we will believe in him. We like to say, seeing is believing, but that's backwards. First you believe, then you see. Faith must always come before the miracles. Miracles have no use except to point us to Jesus. If we get miracles but don't fall in love with Jesus as a result, we've missed the whole point. I have non-Christian friends that I often share miracles with. They will say, well, that's just a coincidence or a medical anomaly. But I'm sure if there was a miracle in my life, I would believe in Jesus. I love the way that this desperate royal official responds. He simply repeats his request. It's as if he's saying, I don't know anything about this signs and wonders stuff, but I know you can heal my son. There is no doubt that this royal official had faith. He had determination to believe that Jesus would heal his son. Do you have a faith in Jesus? Do you have a faith that others will believe that Jesus is the Saviour of the world? Faith is confidence in God's faithfulness to us in an uncertain world through an unknown future. I'm going to say that again. Faith is confidence in God's faithfulness to us in an uncertain world through an unknown future. Our obedience to God. Jesus replied, you may go, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Be amazed. The royal official is probably thinking, Jesus, you've got to go with me. You don't understand how sick my son is. I can't take that chance. If you come, I know you can heal him. But something gripped his heart in that moment. You can trust the words of Jesus. And he did. It must have been hard for him to leave Cana and make the journey back to Capernaum alone. He has nothing to go on but the words of Jesus. Your son lives. This is naked faith, simple faith. This is faith not in miracles, but in believing the words of Jesus. I find it interesting that this man didn't ask for a token or a sign. He had no outward proof. But he left anyway. He had nothing to lean on but the word of the Lord. He believed that what Jesus said he would do. Saint Augustine put it this way: faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of faith is to see what we believe. Our testimony about God. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that this boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." Be amazed. Now we come to the delightful portion of the story. As the man is making the journey home, I'm sure many thoughts are running through his mind. He knows what Jesus has said and he believes it. Yet he remembers how sick his son was when he left. Could the words of Jesus really be true? As he walked along the road, he saw before him in the distance a crowd of people coming his way. "Master, your son lives." The father wanted to know when his son started to get better. But when did it happen? At the seventh hour. That would be about 1 p.m. And then the man paused for a moment and began to think. Then it hit him. The seventh hour? That was the very moment when Jesus said, "Go your way, your son lives." Jesus healed the boy in Capernaum, even though he was 22 miles away in Cana. And the boy was healed the very moment Jesus spoke to the father. That's not a coincidence, that's a miracle. And it proves that Jesus is the Lord of time and distance. Without knowing the outcome, he was obedient to God. I'm not going to lie, when my prayers had been answered in terms of my mum receiving positive news, my faith waned, my obedience to God deteriorated. I put God aside. Then, without notice, a few months later, my mother slipped into a coma. She was in ICU, intubated. I could not believe it. "What are you doing, God?" We were told that she had days to live. I prayed fervently. I had faith and hope in a God that would turn this around, and he did. In a crisis, are you obedient to God? Whatever the outcome, do you continue to put your faith in him? Our commitment to God. So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. And he believed so fully that he swept his whole family and all his servants with him into the kingdom of God. He came and they came with him. What incredible faith! 3 days later, my prayer had been answered. My mum was awake and back on the ward. She was talking and eating and laughing. It was a miracle. I knew deep down that my mum would die, but God had provided more time. One afternoon, Bella came with me to the hospital to visit my mum. She was 4 years old. She was very excited because she had drawn a picture for her. When she arrived, she gave it to my mum and said, "This is for you, Nana Robin." My mum asked what it is. "Nana Robin, it's a picture of you in heaven with Jesus." My mum smiled and had tears rolling down her face. A four-year-old Bella believed in Jesus and that her grandmother would be in heaven one day. That's a miracle. 3 days later, my mum died. Behind this story of the royal official is the sovereign hand of God. Though the father could not see it in advance, his son was brought to the point of death that the entire family might be brought to eternal life. Thus, God does work through our adversity, our pain, our trials, and our sorrows. When we are in the midst of a desperate circumstance, we see only our problems. Now, you're probably wondering, what has this story got to do with evangelism? Well, how can we share the gospel with others if we don't have a commitment to God ourselves? How can we share the gospel if we don't believe that Jesus is God's Son and He is the Saviour of the world and He died for our sins so that we have eternal life? Demonstrating the gospel means showing, not just telling. I'll say that again. Demonstrating the gospel means showing, not just telling. We should want to communicate to our non-believing friends and family the life-changing reality of knowing Jesus. They need to see changed lives, not just hear explanations of what we believe and why. We need to have a faith like the royal official so we share the good news of Jesus with our friends and family. We need to be amazed by the miracles He is doing each and every day. So how do we have faith in the midst of life's trials and tribulations? How can we ensure that we demonstrate the gospel in our own life? Well, it's really simple, guys. We need to draw closer to God. We need to have a regular prayer life. We need to read scripture, and we need to be part of a Christian community. In our busy lives, this can all seem overwhelming. Can I encourage you to give it a try? Maybe start small. Choose a day in the week where you have no commitments. Maybe call this your Sabbath morning. Grab a cup of tea or coffee, pray to God, read scripture, listen to worship music, spend time journaling. You will be amazed how your faith and relationship grows and how demonstrating the gospel in your daily life becomes routine. Serving others in the name of Jesus and showing His love in the way that we do life. Amen.